NPR.
This is The Indicator for Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma, here with Darian Woods.
Great to be here.
Also with us today, Planet Money super producer, who has been filling in as The Indicator's editor, Dave Blanchard.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Like we do every week, we're bringing you three key snapshots of all the wild and wonderful things happening in the global economy. And one of the things we're going to look at is the big one, massive GDP growth in the U.S. economy. We're then going to look at the European economy and see its struggles with inflation and growth right now. And then we will look at the story of how 2 million dimes were heisted.
Heisted or hoisted?
Housed.
I say heisted, you say hoisted.
Let's just call the whole thing off.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Fisher Investments. SVP Judy Abrams shares how their fiduciary duty comes to life while helping clients plan for retirement.
As a fiduciary, we must make decisions in our clients' best interest. So we work with them in consultation to be on a glide path so when they want the option to retire, that portfolio is still going to keep working for them at this stage of life.
Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. This spring, Mint Mobile has unlimited talk, text, and data plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Go to mintmobile.com/indicator. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
Okay, Darian Woods, you're up first with a big table-setter indicator for the economy.
Yes, indeed. So my indicator is 4.9%, which is how much the U.S. economy is growing right now annually. It is steaming hot. The latest GDP numbers for the last quarter came out yesterday. And by the way, that 4.9% number strips out inflation, so it's real growth.
Whew. I mean, usually we're talking about like 2 or 3% is a good number for GDP growth in the U.S. economy.
It's hot out of the oven. But, you know, whether or not it's a sustainable improvement in prosperity is debated. A lot of Americans might be looking at those numbers and thinking, really? I mean, I'm not feeling any richer.
Yeah, right. It's another one of these numbers that like tells us the economy is doing great. But like, I don't know. It still feels like a lot of people are kind of nervous about where the economy is heading right now.
Yeah. And so what's interesting is if you look at the different components of GDP, they tell a different story. In particular, look at real disposable household income. And that actually dropped by 1% annually. But what Americans are doing is spending a lot. These numbers were supercharged by the U.S. consumer spending a lot on things like laptops, barbecues, dishwashers. And Americans are saving less money to do that. Last quarter, the savings rate fell.
This is like the YOLO economy.
We've moved from FOMO to YOLO.
Spending it like it's literally going out of style.
Yes, and it's not just the consumer. The government is also spending a lot, funded by deficits. National defense, for example, shot up to 8% growth annually.
Right, and now we've got the war in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas, so that's probably not going to go down anytime soon.
No.
Okay, so you've poured some rain on these seemingly nice numbers. Is there anything good with the GDP news?
I'm not saying don't be happy about these strong numbers.
Pretty sure that's what you're saying, but
I'm saying be cautious. These are strong numbers overall, and they defy recession predictions. But I'm saying look at those GDP components and ask yourself whether they can continue growing indefinitely.
Everyone's favorite kind of good news is the kind with the asterisks. Thank you, Darian. Okay, so from the U.S., our next indicator takes us to the continent of Europe, right, Dave?
Yeah, so 4% is my indicator. That is the rate that the European Central Bank announced it would pause its interest rate hiking at, 4%. So that keeps the rate at the highest ever seen in the 25-year history of the ECB. And that's in keeping with what we've seen from a lot of central banks, right? Like, I mean, a lot of them are just kind of pausing and not going forward with more rate increases at the moment. Obviously, you've got the Federal Reserve in the U.S., but also in Canada and the U.K., you know, a lot of central banks are doing this kind of pause at the moment.
This is kind of interesting to me because, correct me if I'm wrong, but inflation's still relatively high in the Eurozone, like above 4% last I checked, compared to below that for the U.S.
Right. Yeah. So you might think that they'd want to keep increasing rates to try to keep forcing that down. But it's also just a much more complicated situation than in the States. Here we're constantly talking about surprisingly positive economic news. You know, we were just talking about that big GDP number, right?
Right. And like the news about the jobs market, it continues to be like surprisingly strong and consumer spending is high.
Yeah, I mean, for the time being, the economy in the U.S. has been pretty resilient in the face of the rate hikes. But it's different in the Eurozone. The ECB says its economy is weak. Some economists warn it could tip into recession, especially now with the Israel-Hamas war, which could lead to higher energy prices. The euro is struggling. GDP is weak. So they're just really wary of cooling the economy too much with more hikes.
Right. And Europe is not a monolith. Like, there are some countries in there that might be doing better and worse than others.
Right. And that's part of the trick here, right? There's like 20 countries all on the euro. And so there's also been this like kind of role reversal in recent years where Greece, which was, you know, deeply in debt just over a decade ago, is now doing relatively well, other than like a stubbornly high unemployment rate. Well, Germany, which was the cornerstone of the European economy for so long, it's actually looking like it could be the only European country to see its economy contract this year. So for a central bank trying to figure out what to do, it sort of depends which direction you're looking.
Thank you, Dave. And next we have something that is kind of like the cat stuck in the tree segment of our Indicators of the Week. Adrian Barr, a very fun story from you.
My indicator is not about big macro trends affecting national economies or continents. It doesn't involve billions or millions. The number this week for me is $234,000. That's it.
A humble indicator.
Here's the deal. According to recently unsealed federal court documents, that is the amount allegedly stolen from the back of a truck, which was carrying a shipment from the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia. And get this. This $234,000 was all in dimes.
Wait, so we might be talking about millions here. I mean, that sounds like more than a million dimes.
What is it? 10 times 234,000 dimes. So that's like over 2 million dimes.
Wow.
And yeah, I've actually tried to do some math here, right? So get this. The U.S. Mint says that a dime weighs exactly 2.268 grams. And if the dollar amount in the charges is correct, that means this allegedly stolen loot would weigh almost 6 tons. And to put that in Philadelphia terms, that is about as heavy as 6 Liberty Bells.
Wait, so, I mean, how do you just, you know, abscond with 6 tons worth of dimes?
So this is how the feds say that it went down. So in April of this year, this truck with a tractor trailer attached picked up a shipment of dimes from the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia. It was supposed to go to Miami, but on the way, the driver of the truck pulls over into a Walmart parking lot to rest, you know. And then video apparently shows that during that night, the truck was unattended and several men broke into the truck and started loading the dimes into these bags, which they then put in their own truck before driving off.
So do you think they knew that this was a dime-carrying truck?
So the police think they did not know what they were getting into because, well, the truck itself is not marked. It just looks like a blank tractor trailer. They probably broke into this tractor trailer because it was part of a pattern. They say members of this crew were allegedly also involved in a whole string of thefts and robberies that were targeting trucks. So for instance, they allege that members of this crew were involved in boosting a truck full of refrigerators. And in another case, they allegedly stole frozen shrimp and frozen crab legs from the back of another truck.
Did they go on a big spending spree of lots of dimes? I mean, how do you cover up your tracks to actually use that money?
Allegedly, what happened afterwards is they started to try and convert these coins into cash, partly by depositing them at various banks around the Philly area, partly by exchanging a lot of them at Coinstar machines. You know, the things you see in, like, grocery store checkout areas.
I feel so bad for the person behind the person with $200,000 worth of dimes to deposit at the Coinstar machine.
So in the end, they only managed to convert like a couple thousand or a few thousand dollars worth of dimes into cash, which, you know, maybe means that somewhere out there, there was floating many more bags of loose dimes.
Maybe that explains the recent surge in consumer spending.
This episode was produced by Cooper Katz McKim with engineering by James Willits. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Kaken Cannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Why did Cola Scola write a bonkers, extremely fictionalized play about Mary Todd Lincoln?
Well, you know, it was 2020 and we were all so isolated. I just started doing research. But the truth is, I just thought of it.
We'll talk about that and more on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.